Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Although you might have missed it, earlier this month there were people celebrating worldwide mental health days. One concept that the World Health Organization wanted to stress particularly was the concept of emergency behavioral care. If you think about it, this will come as no surprise to you. Think about all those rescue missions you read about or hear about. And let's expand this to animals as well as humans. The primary focus, and unfortunately sometimes the only focus, is on the individual's physical health. Little or no concern is given by the emergency personnel to the individual's mental or emotional health. If such attention is given, it is more likely given due to the personality of the emergency person. And whether that works depends on how much that person knows about comforting a distraught individual. This got me thinking about the way people respond to medical crises in animals. Improper handling of physical crises can lead to behavioral and bond issues that last much longer than the physical trauma itself. We see evidence of this all around us, in both humans and animals. But sometimes one of two things happens when we see an animal in crisis. Either we want to baby that animal, or we lose it completely. We can't deal. When the animal needs us the most, calm and collected and communicate confidence, we go to pieces instead. Or we think about how we would feel if that same thing was happening to us. And we get even more anxious. And unfortunately, to our dogs, we communicate that, yes, indeed, we're having a worse problem than they are. Whether there are dogs or not, whether there are cats or not, that kind of demeanor does not communicate a reassuring message any more than it would to a child or an adult human being experiencing some sort of physical trauma. So when something causes animal pain, don't think about what it means to you. Don't think about running away. Think about supporting that animal. Think about communicating to that animal that they're going to be all right. That way, not only will that animal heal from any physical injuries, be those lack of food or a heck of a parasite load from a pup born of free-roaming parents or an animal hit by a car. If we really care about animals, if we really care about rescuing, we need to rescue the whole animal. Not only the animal's health, but also the animal's mind and trust in human beings. It begins with the rescuer. It begins with the first human being who has contact with that animal. It is indeed hard, but you fake it if you have to. And when it's over, when the animal is secure and sleeping, then you can go outside and throw up or cry, but not until then. Worldwide Mental Health Day. Think about your plans. Think about your strategy for your animal. Think about your first aid plan. What's your plan for maintaining the animal's behavior and bond health? Get everything ready. So should such a crisis occur, you'll be prepared to treat the whole problem.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.